from the Vila Home, June 4th, 2012.
Committee of the Whole to order at 7:12. Roll call.
Trustee Wazinski, here. Trustee Sanicelli, present. Trustee Clement,
present.
Trustee Sandoval, here. Trustee Chacon, here. Trustee Newby,
present. First item is approval of the minutes of Committee of the Whole meeting of May 21st, 2012.
So moved.
Motion by Sandoval, second by Simon Kelly. Questions or comments? Roll call.
Trustee Wazinski?
Aye.
Trustee Simon Kelly?
Aye.
Trustee Clements?
Aye.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Trustee Chacon?
Aye.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Motion carries. Public comment? Committee of the Whole. Okay, Human Resources and Finance.
All right, first item on the agenda is the proposed revisions to the investment policy. As you remember, there was a request a while ago for us to revise or to look into our investment policies to see if we could get better yields and look at other organizations to invest through. So, after some research, the two main changes that we want to make to the current investment policy are collateralization. Right now, we require our investments to be collateralized at 110%, which is really restrictive from what banks said. The banks have to cover that, but we give them 110%, not just 100%. So what we're talking about doing is backing that down to 100%, because in today's market, that's just not feasible. Banks. That's tying up. I mean, they're not making very good margin for the biz, and this is asking them to tie up an additional 10% of their assets with no return. So we want to back that down to 100%, and then also we want to provide ourselves with some more options for investment. So adding Fifth Third Bank, BMO, Harris Bank, First American Bank, PMA Financial, and Illinois Metropolitan Investment Fund, which also has some pretty good options in terms of investments where we can make a better yield or make that. Any questions or concerns on that?
Okay, so we move that forward. Move to the next question.
All right. The next item is the prevailing wage ordinance, which we are required to do according to Illinois state law, the Prevailing Wage Act. There's nothing unique, Steve, that we're doing above and beyond what the state does.
It's the normal state statutes on the top.
So it's kind of mandated. We really don't have a choice.
Any changes from last year?
Not in the ordinance. There is changes to the state statutes.
There are changes to the statute, but not the Texas ordinance or the adoption of the wage rate.
Wasn't there talk that they would be backing off on this a bit?
No. From all the recent legislation they passed, they're cutting even more
restrictive.
They're trying to include as many contracts as possible under the statute.
It's
based on current state published proof.
Yeah, the polls aren't ours, but it's our own Department of Labor.
Okay.
So everybody's okay with moving that forward as well?
We still think so much more you feel higher than what is
it? I'm sorry,
you feel a lot higher, incorrect on here. What would you
think? Lower. It's
lower.
They've gotten a raise, and when is it affecting first? So I didn't know.
Well, we'll look into it, which one is it, let us know, and whatever, and then we'll just make sure we get it corrected.
I just didn't know it was dated 5/29, so it made a difference if it went into effect 6/1. You know, I don't know if all of them are different, effective 6/1, or maybe some unions didn't get pay increases and some did. I don't know, I can't speak for one.
Well, yeah, it may not be a union-specific issue, though. It would be prevailing wage, which is just the assessment. Here's one that we think they're making Lake County. It would be probably based on the contracts, which is why we have to always send them down to the state. But it's not a contract-specific issue. But yeah, if it's let us know which one, we'll go with that.
Okay. All right. Last item under Human Resources and Finance is a report on financial information available on those websites. So this was basically a transparency analysis that we started last year, started looking at it, shortly after we joined the board, and had a table because of all the things that were going on. But we were finally able to finish it. And so what we did was we used the there's an organization called the Sunshine Organization, which is all about government transparency. So they have a checklist of things that every government entity should have. So whether it's a county government, a state government, a local government, a school district, all those kinds of things. So there's so they have some standards. And so we went by those and did an evaluation of our village's website and the information that it contains. And so what you have in front of you is kind of the results of that. So there's a table, and so that the first couple of columns are, you know, the area. They have 10 major areas, and what should be on the website in terms of those areas. And then the finance committee went about just providing a score and some comments on what we actually provide and recommended action from there. I think the good news is that, and then I think we also did analysis of the other sheet you have is some reviews of neighboring villages. Steve did some good work there. And so the good news is that, you know, in terms of what other villages provide, we're in good shape of all the ones that, we're better than all the ones that we compared ourselves in terms of the village. In terms of the Sunlight Foundation standards, I'd say we're also pretty good. Not perfect, but pretty good. In the area of the budget, we gave ourselves an A. We have all the information that they requested. And I think we have some additional information. In terms of meetings, notices and upcoming meetings and minutes and things like that, we got an A because we have all that. We even have audio version. That information. So we said we really don't need to do anything on that. The other area is elected officials. They want the names and contact information also should include each official's voting record. We gave ourselves a B from the standpoint that we have all the contact information, but we don't have, we have individual votes by ordinance. So we have the minutes have how each elected official voted. But we don't have that summarized. So I know currently, like with at the state level, there's organizations that, there's private organizations that collect all of the information and evaluate each legislator and how they vote on everything. It's a big, ends up being a big table. So we can talk about whether we want to do that or not. Generally, I mean, I think that the voting information is available. I don't know how much work it would be for us to actually tabulate that. And again, at the state level, I know there's external organizations, private organizations that do it, so I don't know if I'm sure of that. But we can talk about that. Let me finish up here. Admin officials is another category. You've got names and contact information, and we have all of that. Permits and zoning. So we should have downloadable applications, also should be able to track the permit process online. I think maybe some subject to interpretation there. I gave us a B
because we have all the forms and the process is outlined, but you can't necessarily track the progress of the approval. So you can't necessarily say, okay, the form's been accepted and there's some notification. But I don't know. Sue, you thought that we had in terms of like we could address the
permits. Exactly. We do actually track them for garage sale permits at this particular time, and all you need to do is obviously click on to garage sales, and you'll see what permits have been issued and who's been accepted for it. So I was wondering if maybe a simple format like that can also be used for other permits.
We're going to look at the system and see.
Okay. If we do that, we should be able to use it for other things.
Yeah, the garage sale permit process is different than what is used for the normal permit process with the SNA.
Right. But in the end, you know, if it's approved, good. If it's not, but it's not on the list, similar to the garage sale permit. So I think we're starting to, you know, see some progress. We just need to move it on to the other types of permits as well.
We don't have a lot of permits going on right now, so 30 a month is what we do. It's 2 weeks or less for anything that's not major, like a new building or anything that has to be set out. So you know you're going to get it within 2 weeks or less. We did we participated in a survey too with some other communities. They're also recently looking at that issue. Not a lot of people do the tracking because of the requirement to do a software mechanism that is more real-time. Naperville does something. Their user manual alone is 23 pages, I think, just for the public to learn how to use the system online. But they're willing to do that, in fact, did do something like that. But we haven't looked at DSNA to see if something can be, you know, put out of there right away. So yeah. We're going to talk about that this week and see what we can do. So.
All right. Next category is audits. We should have audit reports and audit schedule, and we have all that. We have current year, previous years. We don't have necessarily the schedule, but the date of the reports pretty much tells you that they're around the same time every year. We didn't take any action with these there. Contracts, rules governing contracts, including bids for contracts over 10,000, along with vendors' campaigns, contributions. I think there's maybe something that I wasn't aware of. I think we have purchasing rules are out there. I don't know what other kind of contract information is out there, but not a lot. I know we don't have contracts. I know a lot of transparency groups are looking for is actual contracts out there so people can see. And then they talked about the long vendors' campaign contributions. So the campaign contributions are easy enough to do anything like that. Lobbying, they want to recommend that the payments made to taxpayer-funded government lobbying organizations be out there. Here, so to see, because we don't really have any of that, but it's fairly easy to provide, so we can do that. Public records, name, contact for FOIA officer, and we have all that. Plus, we have a downloadable form, and we have multiple submission methods, so we cover pretty shape there. And the last category is local taxes, where they expect centralized tax information, including state fees, tax documents for all elected officials, and each agency's source of revenue. Sources of revenue are provided in the monthly treasurer's report and budget. Village taxes and fees can be provided, but we are not recommending providing the officials' tax documents. Because that contains, I mean, that's individuals. It's got everything in there, not just government stuff. So unless anybody has any opposition to that.
Okay.
What's the history of the Sunshine Review organization? Where are they? How is it?
They are, you know, I know there's one in Washington, and I don't know where they originated out of, but they're only about a few years old. And they haven't been on forever. But they've been looking at various areas. They've done some audits. They actually, you can actually enlist them to do a thorough audit. They'll come in and look at everything themselves. You got to pay them a fee. We just decided to do it ourselves. It's interesting. Yeah, we have a little history of it.
They're grassroots oversight.
Yeah, they are. They're
organization.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on that? Recommendations?
And
we will see some of the answers to this that we might be able to provide.
I'm sorry?
I work with a
finance lead exactly
with that.
We can keep moving it forward. We've been providing a lot more for everyone to see. I just think that transparency, people want to be able to know what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it. I think this is great. We've come a long way.
Yeah, and we're not in pretty good shape. I mean, especially compared to other skills organizations, so that's good. All right.
Hey, public works.
Can you think?
Sure.
I'm sorry, I'm getting one second.
Good evening. The first public works item for you tonight is a recommendation of a construction services build order for Lakewood Terrace Phase 1. Bill Frick was delegating tonight. The board authorized expenditure of MFT funds for this Lakewood Phase 1 project. So this is kind of the next step. Back to moving, we'll be providing construction engineering services during the construction of that project, so as they're paving, as they're pouring curb and gutter, as they're installing storm sewers, et cetera. Back to moving, we'll provide on-site staff on a part-time basis to ensure the quality of the constructed work. If you have to answer any questions, you can.
We use a database of recently awarded
conservative in our estimate. Veteran Women doesn't like being a little bit of projects. It really hurts the planning process. Due to several minor circumstances on this one, as we neared completion of the project, there were a couple of items that we added, a couple of things we changed, that bumped up the cost by somewhere in the order of $20,000. Historically, what we're seeing right now, recent projects, lead, et cetera, are very competitive. We're hoping that will continue, but it could change at any time.
So you said that the project went up about $20,000 from conception to this point?
From our original planning estimate, yes.
And why was that?
There were some things we included. As we got into the project, with the Director of Public Works, he made some recommendations. We took on a few more sanitary system repairs to find inspection. Some of the cones in the street were to a point where he felt they really ought to be replaced. The old brick and mortar type, and he wanted to put the precast one, but not good idea. We also adjusted the parking area toward the bottom of the hill there, at the park. There's a small parking area. Director of Public Works asked that we put curbs around that and extended just a little bit, which is probably a safer configuration. The car parks there to allow pedestrians to walk behind the car off the street. Little things like that. We also wanted to go, Church of Public Works asked us to go with high strength concrete, and that's something we're going to look at. Higher strength may stand up better to vehicular traffic within 3 days. And as a pilot project here, we can do that and see the things that. Our prior projects and specifications called for normal strength concrete, and we followed IOTA's recommendations there. You know, maybe this is a sounder idea to get higher strength before we allow cars on it and it will stand up better. So, again, we're considering that. We're going to include it here, and this is one of the letters.
Does that item as an alternate bid then?
No, that's
the regular bid, just the test case.
Right. And I want to overplay it. It adds $2,000 to kind of so on a $450,000 profit. It's not much.
Any other questions? Okay, then, pending a recommendation from the bid opening, we'll move that forward.
Yes.
So I'm going to take the next one if you'd like.
Yes, please.
The next item on the agenda is the designation for construction on the right-of-way. We had a resident on the interstate who came to the village and was looking at requesting to repair a essentially retaining wall that's in the right-of-way. He was permitted sometime in the past. And as Mike had researched it, or Eric, I'm not sure who researched it, that really specifically identified we have something in our code that allows for anybody, or provides for the authority for anybody to issue indemnification agreements, which essentially would allow, you know, remove the village liability from somebody else's stuff, for lack of a better term, than the right way. In this case, it was the retaining wall was the catalyst for the review. So to address that, we propose this ordinance here that would allow staff to issue those identifications and the authority. It doesn't just remove the liability, it also precludes the village from doing maintenance. And people understand if they put something in there that has a little higher value and we need to do work or other utilities need to do work, they're not going to be responsible for replacing it. And the items we're specifically talking about are listed here. We've just revised the existing ordinance for encroachments on the right-of-way And all we're adding is items 3, 4, and 5 to the existing ordinance, a couple of other minor wording changes based on Mike's review. But this is for like the sidewalk cafe permit and the farmer's market in the right of way. We're expanding that to allow for driveway aprons and decorative pavers, retaining walls and berms, or something, you know, like a sprinkler system, privately owned irrigation system. Sometimes some people like to put some sprinklers in the right of way, and technically we have no ability to allow that. And we're not identifying the village and the event they do without this. So we're hoping that you approve that so we can back provide that in the residence.
So if the resident does take advantage of that, gets approval and puts up a retaining wall, and to your point, a village needs to perform maintenance there, what's the policy there then?
If we had to tear up the wall, for example, they would have to fix it. They access our, we typically don't have to do that for existing driveways when we come through, but we would do that for something like mailboxes. We have a lot of mailboxes get put in. We put the standard one up, but over the years as we've done these projects, people that did brick ones that, you know, we tell them we don't replace those, that's on you. But those were in the right way at that time. You know, it's on all mailboxes, but we'll provide a standard one. So yeah, if you've got a apron that's brick pavers, you know, that's a little more labor intensive than the other. We would say, sorry, but you can't replace that. Your other option is we would do asphalt or concrete to match in any project if you have asphalt or concrete. But if you have an irrigation system, yeah, it's not even going to cut it, but you know, you would have to replace it once we're done doing the work there. That's it.
So at this time, if somebody wanted to come to you in the village and just put, you know, the guards up around their trees, and they've got this little itty bitty wall that they're putting in, they have to get a permit for something that simple?
No. No, they don't have to get a permit for like a, you know, decorative tree box. The only time you really get a permit, the point where you get a permit would be like the irrigation system, the driveway aprons, the retaining wall in this case, because it was issued permit passed, it's got electrical on it. But no, unless it was, unless it's a structural wall, we would not be getting involved. Grading change is a different issue. You really can't change the grading. There's a lot of grading, there's water issues involved with that. But no, a landscape box in there is not important.
Mailbox structures, we have a standard for mailbox posts. I don't think it shows like brick mailbox structures. No. Is that something that isn't, shouldn't be permitted?
That's what we do.
It seems like it's a snowplow hazard issue.
Well, that's, yeah. There's a lot of issues associated.
Have we issued permits for such structures in the past that were with
Mayor, I don't know. I can't answer that. If we issued, I know we've issued a permit, for example, for this, at least a portion of the wall that was the catalyst for this event, or this ordinance, I think we're saying.
But that's not a foot off the edge of the pavement.
No, it's, yeah, at the end of the driveway on the house side of the sidewalk. Yes, it's not close to the road. Well, there is a standard for locating the mailboxes that the Postal Service asked for also. I don't recall what it is. I know that our standard mailbox design meets their standard.
And that's in our subdivision ordinance. I just think that's probably something that we don't want to encourage.
Bricks? Right. Absolutely not. People run into a brick structure that we permit in the right of way and they match them. It's different from a tree. I should probably confer to legal on that type of instance, but my understanding, we permit structures not natural, then you do incur some,
but it's minimal. It's really as long as it's a safe condition for the intended users of that area. So if you have a sidewalk, your intended users are everybody starts walking up and down a sidewalk, or you know, kids riding bicycles up and down a sidewalk. If what you permit to be built there is safe for those uses, then the village isn't incurring too much liability. I don't want to encompass all actual scenarios in there, but for general terms, there's no real liability involved as long as it's a safe condition. And I'm sure our village administrator and public works director would not allow unsafe conditions or structures to be built during the permitting phase, which is what they're used to have this ordinance revised slightly to allow a little bit more authority for.
Do you want us to look into the mailbox? If there's no liability, maybe we can add brick mailboxes here if you want. We have to. We don't have any real design criteria for them other than meeting, our village standard. And
I think one of the things that our mayor touched on, and it probably needs to be said again, you know, when you have some of these structures, some of these pillars and such that are so bulky and so thick, if our plows hit them, we're doing damage to our plows as well as to the truck, potentially. And if we have a smaller truck out there doing the work, we're doing some damage to the truck. So is that really in the best interest? I mean, you know, we can't tell when we're going to have another snow hit. And we could barely see anything, let alone a mailbox in the typical form, let alone had that been a big structure, as some of them can be. But I think maybe the inclusion on that, you know, may be a good idea. As beautiful as they are, they may not really be safe for public works to finish their job.
It's probably a problem.
Well, that's why I was asking you if we had actually permitted them. But I think it's more common for people to build them without inquiring.
Mm-hmm.
The village liability in regard to replacing the mailbox in kind was one of the discussions that we had with the homeowners association boards of developing a standard that would be acceptable to everybody and meet our setback requirements as well, so we could try to be more uniform. And rare occasion that a plow hits them, that we would have stock ready to replace them.
Mm-hmm. So then are we asking then, because for a permit to put in there, so we look at those that are due it, they just assume that, okay, we damage it, because they just put the same thing on. You're going to put this up in our right of way, you're responsible for repairs to it and maintenance of it. Versus, are we asking for them to be, if it's positive damage to one of our vehicles in the event of the storm, now they are liable for those repairs? Because that is what we're really truly trying to get with it. Because that's almost what it sounds to me is what we're really aiming for versus the latter, letting them know that we're not going to be repairing their damages.
It's our legal interpretation.
Legal interpretation is that you can do it anyway if you want to. Normally, we have a rule that someone like a public works employee that would build a plow, if you have permitted that structure to be built there, then it's assumed that your public works employees are going to know that it's there. And the village is on notice that it's been built at some place application. So if it's the village employee who's investing the plow and somehow swerve them to it, or you know, forget that it's there and drive them to it, and it becomes the village's responsibility more so than the residents, because then you're talking about police hall block. The village I noticed was there. You permitted it. Here's my permit that you saw I built it. And then to plow sort of into my structure. And so we can get out from under the ordinance from replacing their structure that they built, but whether or not we can then force them to replace our plow, likely turn it into a court battle.
I think I would just like to do whatever is safe for everybody. You know, if they want to have their mailbox, you know, a structure like that, it just can't be in, you know, the village right of way, which then would be the criteria for some postal service.
But then you can also do it at night. The mailbox is actually increasing the value of the homes around the city. It's increasing the adding value to the community. It gets off of New York, you know, it gets off of the town. Coming from the mailboxes that I had for the house hall, like 10 or 12 of them, it's very ugly. And personally, I would like to be able to have a nice one such concern. I have somebody in my family who does that type of thing. So, I mean, I feel that we're going to be putting more limitations on our residents. And it's everything that they have to come and do is required. I mean, I'm sorry, but the biggest frustration with this, I think, is just the paper that I need to run. I'm sorry, that is so my. That's not
going to damage our plow. No, I wouldn't think the papers would. I think I'm just mostly concerned about any kind of structure that that we can get into contact with where someone could have potentially more serious accidents.
What if we maybe just put like Norm saying, please don't let it have to be this far away from the street and not exceed these dimensions. So then this way it is not too obtrusive where watching people view. But then they do it as they please. You know, as they feel, you know. I'm sorry, I would never in a million years think, do my mailbox, my spectrum age, now I know I have to get permission. But I would never have thought that I would actually need to go and get permission to go and do that on a regular house. It would blow my mind. I have a feeling they've run into a lot of them, really have a lot of residents getting ticketed or fined for not getting this other permission.
The postal service would go after people if they didn't have a proper one. Within the reach and anything else. But some of the HOAs also have limitations on the type of stuff, too, because you can imagine you have the bass, the guy holding the mailbox, and then the brick structure, you know.
But that's also
the
issue. But that's the issue. You know, in fact, there's things that have an HOA. You might use that whole, okay, and boy, I like this aspect of it, but I don't like this aspect. I love my community. I love, you know, what my HOA does for, you know, my family, for my household, for my neighborhood. I don't love my mailbox. I really don't. Yeah. And the fact that they're right next to my neighbor's property, I can't even put rose bushes or anything behind the kind of height. So.
Our mailbox standard does specify that it's supposed to be 2 feet behind the curb and that the mailbox front actually be a foot behind the curb, and that's based on giving us a little bit of following. So that was part of why I brought up the discussion that if we're not permitting extraordinary mailbox structures, and again, I suspect that most people that put them up, as you just said, don't think about it, this is what I would like. So it's more of an educational thing that if it's not on the list here, maybe it should be noted that it could be a problem with structural mailboxes being hit by vehicles or snowballs and things. That's a different item than the driveway pavers and things that we're allowing because people want to make their driveway entrances more decorative and it's not intrusive or doesn't appear to be. But the mailbox structure could be.
And what's the last name for a permit for that though? Or we did that thing just kind of written in that.
It's more that it's on record that you're allowed to do the decorative things beyond the normal and putting people on record that they are responsible for maintenance of the village to amend. And I think that the whole point of it is to allow it, but the village and regular maintenance things would be responsible for the basic asphalt driveway, but when you're doing pavers and things that are more decorative, that's not
typical thing in the village would take for replacement.
Okay.
And where it was in Paris.
Just write in our language versus asking us to do.
Oh, you mean like the,
It's like our code ordinance.
Court, yeah.
Just recommend our code ordinance that's contained in the fact that this happens and we can do above and beyond work on your own personal property in the right of way that we will only replace to go to the standard level of what was initially.
But we do have engineering standards and details in our codes, so this allows some things beyond it, so it's granting the license to do that.
And removing the village's requirement and understanding we're not maintaining it and it's not our liability.
I mean, we put the rest in our right-of-way all the time and we know the village isn't maintaining that. Sorry, I have a hard time understanding right-of-way. It really drives me nuts.
As does everyone else, you know.
Changes in what area that you're in, if there was changes in the right-of-way. Sometimes it's a curve, sometimes it's a deep bed, so kind of the area.
Right, I have, yeah, two different right-of-ways, mine is a corner lot. You're an unusual corner lot to boom. I know.
And the public perception of where your property line is very vast.
Yeah, you and I have different opinions, but that's the most that anybody thought about it.
Many people couldn't deal with today as a payment, which is a rare case.
And then we can get away the water mains and the sanitary.
I was just saying thank you. When you like on your first water main problem.
That's why you have a
water main. I'm going to see for most of that anyway. Right from that part of my subject. But to put it in, but should something happen to your underground infrastructure within your right of way or right at the edge of your curb, that's on us. All of us. So you don't want to take that on personally.
We don't want to take that.
All right, so where are we on?
We've heard some comments. Does anybody have major objections to moving this forward?
We're probably including no buffer. Is that correct?
I'm okay with being excluded.
Capital improvement projects, we have to do a resolution for on down.
to use MMP funds for this project.
Since Steve, you're up.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Second.
Everybody okay with moving that forward?
Yes.
Under administration, we have commission compensation. We've got a list of current boards that we have. One thing on the summary, Board of Fire and Police Commissioners is 3 members, not 5 members. And currently, Planning and Zoning, Board of Appeals, and Architectural Review Commission are the only 8 members.
On the board, are they full occupied, or is that still kind of where we are right now?
We currently have 5 on the Architectural Commission. I think we have 1 opening in the zoning board, planning and zoning board.
Does anybody remember why these are paid versus the other ones? Why is the
other ones? Other than that's what we've done for years. Excellent.
I think the architectural review is they did a lot of work reviewing the codes and having a lot more meetings than what they had thought, so that's why they issued a fee. But I can't remember my support. That work is going to drastically reduce.
The numbers are based on 12 meetings per year. Really know how many of them they actually go to. I know I emailed saying that they're canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Do they go to 5 years?
Actually, right now, if I'm not mistaken, it's just as needed. When requested, when there's something that needs to be heard before the court.
I mean, looking at these numbers, they look like big numbers, but in reality, they're not paying that money. Mm-hmm. Have not been.
You can see. In normal years, we would have 1 per month.
Right.
In past years, when there was a lot of development going on, there would also be special planning and zoning board meetings, so there oftentimes were 2 meetings a month if it was needed. The standard would be 1 per month, and we haven't had actions for them to meet, so we have eliminated the meetings when we didn't have action.
Even in a 12-month period, what would you say on the average?
As far as the meetings or costs? A couple of year only, at least since the last 1 or 2 years.
There's been no activity.
Okay.
We are seeing a little bit more, but like you said, you know, the last again, right. The last few months, their activity has been really low. And it's going to be reduced because of the new code, too, that we used to.
So it's not a lot of money either way. I guess the question on the table is it fair that if some committee pay this something? Right? Doesn't make sense to have to pay committees. 2 pay committees and 5 1 pay committees.
Now have anyone talk to them or do we talk first and then approach them? The members that belong to these committees.
How would you like to do it?
I'm sorry, what?
How would you like to do it?
I just didn't know if they had been made aware of this or if it just starts with us.
We've not made anybody aware of
it. But there has been talks about budget cuts and maybe eliminating those fees. A couple of members, unfortunately, yeah.
And do you feel if you take it away from them that they would leave?
I have no idea.
Okay. very low now, but it doesn't mean in 5 years it won't be. We're going to do it.
No, we don't have a lot of variable levels to develop.
Right, right. Well, we do, but well, it's not happening.
I think if you have, I think if the majority of our commissions are unpaid, I think they should all be unpaid. That's my personal opinion. Throw that on the table.
And I will disagree with that. I don't think that the pay that they're receiving at this particular juncture is going to make them a break down or make them want to do their civic duty any less. A lot of these people on the board are you know, very proud to have these positions if it is.
I think I'd like to hear from them, too. I would like to hear from all of the nations, you know, how they feel, if they feel that their position warrants it, or if they'd be willing to do it.
I think we can safely say anybody that's on an unpaid commission will accept the appointment without payment.
Right.
So that's not an issue. The other ones, yeah, if we haven't asked, we don't know their feeling on it.
Okay, yeah. I agree. I
would
definitely like that we
hear those too. I just want Vivian, Dawn, and Vicki to share that. Find out that answer.
Was there a way that the village administrator would like to proceed with this?
Yeah, I was just writing it down. I mean, we could, I could always talk to them, notify them, and invite them to the board meeting, and, you know, you might get a good turnout. You might get no turnout, and you get the answer to your question, too, but
yeah.
You could infer from that. But I think that would be best as purpose of this anyway, so.
Right.
So is it their opinion by the next meeting? If that's okay, the board will go that way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll continue that for further discussion at the next committee of the whole.
Remind them, committee of the whole, first meeting takes a little while. Now, everybody looks at
that. But it's not a big meeting for them, no.
And the final one is Northwest Facility Planning Area Wholesale Advisory Committee appointment. The sewer agreement with Lake County, the Northwest Regional Facility Planning, is part of what the village of Round Lake belongs to, will belong to, again. And there is a wholesale advisory committee and a technical advisory committee under that. And we're proposing that the mayor would be the primary representative on the policy committee and Ron Creek. Public Works Director Engineer would be the representative on the technical committee, and then Mark Huber would be alternate for both.
Queen
Nebby.
Is that
still?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. We'll get forward to suggested new topics. Analyzing cost effectiveness of the options. this, we can't ask for a report at the next meeting. Anything else? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Sandoval, Fleming, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.